Solomon asks for wisdom. Solomon, the son of David, was made strong in his kingdom, and Yahweh his God was with him and made him very great. Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of hundreds and thousands, and to the judges, and the heads of every family. Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tent of meeting of God, which Moses the servant of God had made in the wilderness. So you remember, they had this tent called the tabernacle, where they could come and offer sacrifice to God. And Solomon gathers as many people as he can to this tent, which was then, this tabernacle, which was then in a town called Gibeon. But David had brought the Ark of God up from Kiriath-Jearim to the place that David had prepared for it, for he'd pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. And the bronze altar that Bezalel had made was there before the tabernacle of God. And Solomon and all the people were seeking counsel there. Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before God, which was in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Just think, 1,000 animals. But later on we're going to read in Isaiah that God actually doesn't take pleasure in the blood of animals and goats and all that, that what he wants is the sacrifice of our hearts. Because just think, killing 1,000 animals would be, in one sense, pretty awful. And so he thought that by doing that, he would be acceptable with God. But that's not really what God's looking for. He's looking for broken hearts. When we feel really sorry that we've sinned, and we really, really want to love God with all our heart and soul, that's what God is looking for. That's the sacrifice. Anyway, in that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." Now, as not many people have had that in their life, God appearing to them and saying, "What do you want? I'll give it to you." And it's a good exercise for us. If God said to you, if an angel appeared right now and said, "What would you like? I'll give you anything," what would you actually ask for? Now, some people would say, "Oh, I want a car. Oh, I want a horse. I want this or I want that." Well, Solomon said to God, "You've shown great grace to David, my father." You remember, grace means favor that's not deserved, just a pure gift. Because David wasn't perfect, but God loved him so much. "You showed great grace to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. So now, Yahweh God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now, please give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who can judge this, your people, that is so great?" So when God said to him, "What do you want? I'll give you anything," he asks that the promises to David will be fulfilled. And in the end, the promises are going to be fulfilled in the coming of Jesus to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. And he also asks for wisdom, so that he can help God's people. Now, that was very pleasing to God. And so God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of those who hate you, and you haven't asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge is given to you. I will give you also riches, wealth, and honor such as none of the kings have had who have been before you, neither shall there any after you have the same." So God loved this attitude that Solomon had, that he wanted wisdom so that he could help God's people. So then, if an angel appeared and said, "What do you want? I'll give you anything you want," hopefully, we, although we might be tempted to say, "I want a horse, I want a car, I want this, I want a spaceship," we might be tempted to want those things. But if in our hearts we then think, "No, what I really want is to be able to help others, to know God, to have wisdom," then this will be given to us. And in this case, all the other things that people like were added to him. Now that doesn't always happen. It doesn't mean that if you want wisdom more than anything else, well, yes, okay, God will give you wealth and those things. Not necessarily. And as we know, Solomon had the wealth and all that, and it didn't help him because he fell away from God. So Solomon came from the high place that was at Gibeon from before the tent of meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen that he put in chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. Well, that's a bit odd, because the king of Israel, God had said in the law of Moses, was not to have chariots and horsemen. So although he gets all this wisdom, straight away we read that he has all these chariots. He has so many chariots and horsemen that he has to build chariot cities.
No, but was his family allowed to have horses?
Well, they were not allowed to trade in horses from Egypt.
They're allowed to trade in goats.
No, well, yeah, they could trade in goats if they wanted, that's right. But the point is that he was not supposed to have chariots because he was supposed to trust in the Lord his God.
But were they allowed to have, horses or riders?
They could have horses, but they were not to get the horses from Egypt. Now we're going to read on.
That is very hard, because then you have to hunt them and somebody would get killed.
Well, you could, yeah, that's right. It's pretty hard to go and round up wild horses. The horses they had in Egypt were probably trained. But now we read, the horses which Solomon had were brought out of Egypt. The king's merchants bought them. They brought out of Egypt a chariot for 600 pieces of silver and a horse for 150. They also brought them out for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. So Solomon starts to go wrong right at the beginning of his life. Although he's got all this wisdom to help other people, he doesn't really show a very good obedience to God's word. Because he brings out all these horses and chariots from Egypt when the king of Israel was not supposed to have them. And in fact, in Deuteronomy, that's the end of the law of Moses, it says that the king of Israel, when he became king, was to copy out the guidance, the laws, for how he was to act. And he was to copy out the bit that said, and the king of Israel is not to take horses and chariots from Egypt. So he copied that out, became king, and then he goes and does the very thing that he copied out. So, the same way as you can be doing an exercise in your lessons and you can copy out something, and yet actually you copy it out but you've not really paid attention to whatever it's really saying. That's the problem with copying things. So this is what happened with Solomon. And he knew what was right. He had all this wisdom and knowledge, but he went wrong. And it's the same when you read in Kings, that he had this daughter of Pharaoh as his wife, and he was involved with these foreign women, it seems, right from even before he became king. And yet he writes in Proverbs, with all his wisdom, about my son, be careful of the foreign woman, don't get involved. So he knew what was wrong and right, but he still did what was wrong.
Who's his son?
His son was Rehoboam, who also didn't turn out too well. But anyway, it just shows that if we really want more than anything else to have wisdom and knowledge, to have relationship with God and to help other people with that knowledge, that is really so pleasing to God. But the warning is that when you have all that knowledge, it's very easy to be like Solomon and just do the opposite, to think, yes, well, I've got this knowledge, but it's not for me. Whereas the humble heart, the broken heart, which is a true sacrifice, will say, yes, this is wonderfully true, and will rejoice in it for yourself. This is really true for me.